In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Today we heard a wonderful reading from the epistle, and the reading is of course of the gifts of God, and which is love and patience and long-suffering and meekness and all those things, and where the apostle says, and of course to be Christians we have to conquer our passions and the wants of the body. And my beloved, and we have to carry the burdens of each other. This is the proof of our love. And are we doing that? Are we carrying the burdens of each other? Or do we get irritated when something doesn't go our way? And are we doing as the apostle says, that we should be able to correct also those who of us who are in authority? They have to correct that without irritation, and to be in the spirit of meekness, lest we fall a prey to the enemy. Well, if you honestly look at yourself and say, well, it doesn't happen to me, I get irritated when I have to correct my children or my wife corrects me, there's always seem to be irritation, and finally even anger may set in there. Well, to that I will have to quote St. John of Kronstadt. He says, every time that you or me feel any kind of irritation, you can be bet your bottom boot, or whatever the saying is, that the fact is that the evil one is surrounding you, the evil spirits, and they are ready to pounce into your heart and get into your heart. Once they get into the heart, what happens to us? We become angry. We have hatred in our heart. We can't stand the person that's next to us, whoever we may have found transgressed something. But this is not the orthodox way. This is not the way Christians should behave. Christians should behave completely different. We have to have that spirit of meekness, and we have to have the joy and the peace that the apostle is talking about. And when we correct somebody, we have to do it with love. And we have to correct and not to judge the person. We have to judge the action, but not the person. We cannot turn our heart against the person, because we know, but for the grace of God, I would be in the same position, and or even worse. And this is the way you and I have to think. Well, Saint Serafim Sarovsky, whose memory we also commemorate today, and Saint Serafim is totally given up his pride in the childhood, and then started to go after the Lord. And the most important thing for him was to be united with the Lord, and finally he becomes a monk. And when he was become a monk, his name before that was Prokhor, but they gave him the name of Serafim. Serafim is the angels, and that's always burning with great love for the Lord. And this is what he did. He burned with great love towards the Lord, that even those at times that they have seen him in a prayer, they saw that he was shining, the face was shining like a sun at the time of a prayer, and because he truly loved the Lord, and because he loved the Lord so much, he loved so much everyone. And whenever he saw anybody, he would greet the person and say, Radosti moya, joy, you're my joy. Christ is risen, he would say, all year round, because this is very important for us to acknowledge that Christ is risen. So we shall rise, and we shall rise. And this is the message that he was always giving us. Now, he had given us an example of how we should study the scripture. He had studied the scripture on a weekly basis. He had totally read the whole gospel and the whole New Testament and the Acts of the Apostles, and then the teachings of the Apostles, and the Psalter. Every week he had done that. He has spent the time, and he spent the time all the time in praise. As you know, that for 1,000 days and 1,000 nights he stood on a rock and on his knees with a fervent prayer to the Lord. And these are miracles, of course. We can't do that. You say, we can't do that, but we can try to keep on going after the Lord. Lord, and to not to forget that He is with us, that He is everywhere present and fills all things, and He is giving us life, constantly sustaining our life. This is our Lord of love that died for us on the cross. Now we're preparing for the holiday of the Epiphany, where today is already we had in the canon of the Matins, we had all the songs about how the Lord is coming to Jordan River to be baptized. Why does He come to be baptized? For me, for you, He is coming to get baptized and to cleanse the water through Jordan, to cleanse the water of the whole universe, because the enemy loved to be hanging around in the water, the evil spirits, and so He chased them all out. My beloved, we also have today the Saint Pope of Sylvester, that at one time when the emperor decided he's going to kick away all those who are not believers, because most of the city become believers, and so he had told the emperor, said, "I'm going to chase everybody away," and the saint said to him, "No, don't do that, because we don't want to force them into accepting Christianity. Let's call them for a debate, and let's prove to them through their own scriptures that Jesus Christ is the Messiah that they were waiting for." And they started to have these debates, and on every turn the saint was able to use the scriptures of the Old Testament to prove that Jesus Christ is the Messiah and that He is God. But then one of the leaders said, "Well, let's see the power with you. How can you show any power with the man that was crucified and that died and so on?" And the saint said, "Well, let's go that direction." And the man says, "Well, here's a bull." What seemed to be went berserk or wild, and he can hardly be restrained, and he was held with the ropes so that he will not tear at people. And he says, "I know the name of the Lord, and I'm going to say the Lord to him in his ear and see what's going to happen." And he comes up to the bull and says something in his ear, and the bull just falls down dead. And the people are in awe of it, so it's what a great feat. But the saint said, "That's no feat at all. You have not used the name of the true God, for the true God doesn't kill, doesn't do things like that. But He can resurrect. He resurrects the people. He has resurrected Himself, and He resurrected so many people." And then the learned one said to him, "Well, let's see if you Jesus has any power, and if you can resurrect this bull." And the saint had said, "All right, I'm going to pray about it." He stepped aside a little bit, went on his knees and said a little prayer, then came back and said to the dead bull over there, "Get up, you now, get up, and now be meek as a lamb, and so do not touch anybody, and just go peacefully to your dwelling where you come from." And before everybody's eyes, that the dead bull all of a sudden gets up and becomes a meek as a lamb, and they take the robes off him, and he goes meekly, done the orders of the saint, and with the Jesus Christ's name, and he goes back to his pasture. And that made it, and the people had saw that, and they were convinced, because all the scripture and all the things that was proven to them by the saint through the scriptures didn't seem to have done it, because they were hard of hearing. But to see a miracle like that, they believed, and all of them become Christians, and it was a great joy. And this is the kind of a saints we have. How many miracles did Saint the Seraphim had done? There would be no one in the gospel reading, it was just like in Christ. So everybody wanted to come and receive some miracle, and he would give a healing of the souls, and then give healings of all all kinds of sicknesses. He has been doing that while he was alive, and he had done all those things after the Lord took him to heaven. But his relics, through the relics, people were getting all kinds of healings. And of course he went through great amount of suffering as a child. He was near death from sickness. The Mother of God appeared to him, and the icon of Kursk was being brought from the Kursk hermitage to the Kursk city, and because of the bad storm that came up, they went a short way and passed right by the house where Saint Prochor, future Saint Seraphim, lived with his mother. And the mother took out the saint, future saint, they took him out to kiss the icon, and he got healed. And the Mother of God chose him as one of her favorites and appeared to him other times. And he, before he had, during his life, he was at one time approached by a whole bunch of robbers. And they thought that, well, so many people come to see him, they must be leaving him lots of money and so on. And they asked for him to hand over all those things. And the saint says, I have nothing. I have nothing that I can give you. But he had an axe in his heart, because he was in his hand. He was chopping wood. And but he put down the axe. He could have, three of them, he could have chased them away with the axe. He was a very strong man. And what he did, he put the axe down, he folded his hands, and they used the axe, picked up the axe, and hit him on the head. They crushed his skull, that the blood came out of his mouth and out of the ears, and kept on beating him and beating him, so that it broke several of his ribs and made him a cripple for the rest of his life. And left him figuring that he is dead. But then still they tied him up, and then they went to his little tiny house that he lived in, and searched. He couldn't find nothing at all except one icon and the holy books, and nothing that he could do. Then it hit to them. They beat up a man for nothing, and they repented, and they went away. And then when they were caught, and they wanted to be judged, well, the Saint Seraphim had pleaded with them, and even threatened that, if you hurt those people, I'm going to leave these Sarov hermitage. And they let him go. But the Lord had showed them his wrath, that their house where they lived, it is all burned up, and they came in great repentance. And this is the, as it is written in the Saint Dmitry Rostovsky, in the Lives of the Saints. My beloved, what is the most important thing? Well, the most important thing of us to know is that while we have the pride, we cannot receive the gifts of the grace of God. We cannot be able to have the Lord to help us, except for continue to give us life so that we have a chance to repent. But He resists the proud. He gives His gifts to the humble. And this is what the most important thing is for us, to receive from the Lord the most important gift, to fight to get rid of that pride, so that we will not, and it will not hinder us from being able to pray and to be united with our Lord and to love our neighbors. Let's work on it. And let's keep on asking the saints that went this road that we have to go through, and let them pray for us, and ask them to pray for us before the Lord, so the Lord will lead us in to the wonderful place where there is in the union with Him, where He can make His abode in us, and we'll be able to have a glimpse of the peace that only He can give. And so we pray to the Saint Seraphim of Sarovsky and the Saint Sylvester, which we're celebrating today, that they will intervene and ask the Lord to humble ourselves. Now we know there's one way to be humbled, is to do it voluntarily, and the other way is to go through terrible sorrows and misfortunes. That also humbles a person. Well, I hope that I will do it voluntarily, and I hope that you will want to do it rather voluntarily than to wait until something terrible happens to us that will humble us. My beloved, let's prepare ourselves now for the next holiday, which is, of course, the Epiphany, and so that we'll be able to receive that wonderful, blessed water, which is filled with the grace and which is going to help us and to grow spiritually. Amen.